hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. This is your weekly dose of all things Nintendo. My name is Gemma, and joining me this week, I have my good friend, I have Kirk. Welcome back, Kirk.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, doing well, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm good. Doing well.
That's good. Yeah. It's been a big week, an interesting week. I've been off sick, but I'm back with a vengeance to talk all things Nintendo with you again. And we'll start off this week with something that was trending. I like, you know, and I do this, I find this useful because we talk about Twitter and how awful it is. But I do like how they have trends because it helps me as a kind of, you know, Nintendo enthusiast who does podcasts and other things to see, you know, what's trending and what people are talking about. And I noticed that Mario 64 was trending during the week. And it was an interesting little rabbit hole to fall into because someone had posed, I guess, had posted this kind of scale of remakes from mistakes, like these remakes should not have been made, to right up through kind of, you know, didn't really add much value to neutral, to added some value to vast improvements. And Mario 64 happened to be on the quite negative end in terms of the DS version compared to the Nintendo 64 version. And it kind of led me to think, well, A, which one is better? And I don't know if you have an opinion because I'm not sure if you've played both of these, as in the Nintendo 64 version of Mario 64, as well as Mario 64 DS. And B, what does make a good kind of remake or port or whatever you want to call it? And first of all, have you played either of the Mario 64 titles that I'm talking about?
A little bit on the DS. I don't think we ever owned the game, but I believe we may have borrowed it from someone at one point. So although I've never played the original, I did play some levels on the DS.
Yeah, cool. And did you enjoy it?
It was fine. I think by that point, like I said, since I missed the original release of a lot of these games, I was playing the games that came after them. And with all the quality of life improvements you get as a series develops, when you go back, if you don't really have that nostalgic feel, and this plays into the conversation, or not enough has been done to modernize it, then I don't enjoy it as much as some of the games that followed it, even though, you know, Mario 64 would have been the groundbreaking game.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, when it first came out, it was groundbreaking. I remember seeing it, I think, before it sort of released in a, you know, in a shop, like in a, I don't know what shop it was, probably not one they have in the US, but it was on a display and you could play it and it was like, wow, this is cool. And, you know, it was Mario's first foray into 3D, so it was huge. And the DS version, when did that come out? It probably would have been within a decade of the original, so it's not like a long time later. But it was, I think, a launch title, a very early title for the DS. And, you know, Mario's always a good seller. I'm just thinking about why Nintendo would choose that title, but Nintendo does this often. They use Mario a lot, I think, to help a new system with its sales. And whether that's a new title or, you know, they didn't have a new 3D Mario in mind specifically for the DS, because, you know, that would have been a lot of development time. But using something that was popular, but maybe not everyone had a chance to play. But then in a handheld, especially converting from console to handheld, that's a huge difference when it comes to something like Mario 64. So you kind of got this new audience available to it. It had multiplayer and new characters and things like that. I think it looked quite nice. I enjoyed both versions. I think I can speak sort of on the topic a little bit because I did play both quite a lot. I would have played Mario 64, the original, a lot more simply because I guess it came out first and I had it and I was excited about it and I was more into gaming at that time, as in I had more time to game. Whereas when the DS came out, I had already played the title, so I kind of knew all the ins and outs of it. Didn't necessarily feel like I had to delve into it as deeply, but I still played it and enjoyed it. But it does, yeah, maybe this was just a controversial topic that this person felt, you know, kind of like what you said about nostalgia. Does nostalgia feed into it? The trend that I was seeing on Twitter was that a lot of people disagreed that the DS version was kind of rubbish. And it's not rubbish at all. But I think a lot of, like, perhaps the original poster had that nostalgic value for the original and maybe thought this was unnecessary. And he was coming from the set, kind of a logical sense of, was it necessary? did it improve things? Like you were saying, quality of life improvements? Did it enhance the graphics? Did it do all that sort of thing? And I suppose that's where the question of a port versus a remake maybe comes into question. I don't know. So I was thinking, my mind straight away went to Super Mario RPG from last year, because that seemed like a huge, huge improvement over the original. Not that the original was bad or anything, the original was great. But in terms of graphics, like visually updated, we're talking about a 20 plus year gap though. That came to mind. And then, like you said, quality of life improvements. This one, you know, Super Mario RPG had save states that you could, they could save anytime you wanted to, and other little improvements like that. I don't know. What's your opinion? There's a place for remakes, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I'm all for remakes. In fact, I'm even kind of kind to just straight ports of old games. I usually end up not liking them as much as a full remake. But, you know, if a game's out on an old system that's no longer available and people never got the chance to play it, why not port it over, charge, you know, $15 to $20 for it? And if somebody wants the experience to finally play through this game, they can. Except a lot of times, like, I guess we just did that with the Tomb Raider games. Well, they got Tomb Raider trilogy had a nice HD update. The visuals were a lot better, but even then, you could still go back and play it with the original visuals. And, you know, that was fun. But yeah, like the ones I'm thinking of specifically are, like, let's say Xenoblade Chronicles, the definitive edition for the Switch. That was the third time I'd played through that game because it originally came out for the Wii. And the whole time I was playing it, I kept thinking, man, I wish I owned a different system at this point, because this game just begs to look so much better. I mean, it looked good on the Wii. For a Wii game, it was really nice. But compared to the other systems out there, this world is so vast and so colorful and so well laid out that I just wanted to see it look better. So, and then I played it on the 3DS, where it actually looked worse. but it was fun, or I should say the new 3DS, because you couldn't play that the regular 3DS. But it was kind of cool seeing it in 3D, I suppose. But then when it finally landed on the Switch, and it, you know, looked so much better, and it was such a joy to play. Plus, as we mentioned, the quality of life improvements they put in there made it easier to play through. It wasn't nearly as frustrating as the original. So in that case, yes, I love it. What's that?
You kind of got your wish eventually.
Oh, yeah. And that one wasn't that old. I mean, from the Switch from the Wii to the Switch isn't a huge gap. Compared to some of these old PC games that we get from like the 90s that you see show up. But even then, just that period between the two, the technology had advanced so far that it was great to play through it, through the remake.
That's a really good point. Quite a few things in there that struck me. I mean, the time period is interesting because, it wasn't a long time. The Wii was popular, so you can't really blame, say, for example, we've had a lot of ports of Wii U titles to the Switch, which kind of makes sense because the Wii U had a lot of great games that a lot of people didn't get to play. So that's kind of okay, I think. You know, I don't think Nintendo was trying to gouge us necessarily, even though a lot of us double-dipped. That's because we're huge fans and we jumped on board with the Wii U straight away. But generally speaking, a lot of people missed out on those games in the Wii U. So ported them to the Switch, which is, you know, mega popular. It makes sense. From Wii to Switch, the Wii was popular, Switch is popular. Probably a lot of people did experience it on the Wii. But I wonder if it's a bit like, I'm thinking of someone like George Lucas. Tell me if this is a bad analogy. But you know how he made Star Wars in the 70s and 80s, and then he redid them in the 90s when he had the technology to make them look how he kind of wanted them to look. And I'm wondering whether the developers of the Wii version of the Xenoblade Chronicles, for example, like you said, you were playing it and you're like, this deserves to look better. And when they had the technology to do that, they did. And, you know, fans like yourself would appreciate that. I don't know. Is that a good analogy?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Although I think fans of video games are going to be much more accepting of the changes that in the games than the Star Wars fans of what Lucas did with it.
Definitely, yes.
Although even then, that's not... I mean, if he had just improved the visual effects in some areas, like I think the best use of what he did was like, let's say in Cloud City in The Empire Strikes Back, where originally mm-hmm. we just had these flat, blank, single-color walls. And then in the remakes or whatever they call them, now these are windows and you can see outside and there are clouds and ships flying around. I thought that's the way to do it. I mean, because it in no way, shape or form impacts the overall story or anyone's connection with it. It just adds a little more visual flair. Sure. So if he'd just done that, I think everybody would have been thrilled with it and hardly would have even noticed anything. But yeah, he made some changes that upset the faithful. I was no longer a faithful by that point, so I wasn't as bothered with it as some people were. But even then, there were some elements from like, why did he? What? I don't even get it.
Yeah, no, don't even get me started on Han shooting first.
Okay, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. No, that's a good point. And I thought about Tomb Raider as well, because you mentioned that, and I thought that's a really good example because... You know, I saw Tomb Raider come out in the 90s, and I actually did get a chance to play it on the PlayStation, but I didn't have a PlayStation. I just happened to work in a video shop, and so I got to take a PlayStation home and try it. But I was never going to buy a PlayStation. I was a Nintendo, you know, fan through and through. So I kind of missed out on things like that on Tomb Raider. And so for me, seeing games previously unavailable on Nintendo systems come out on a Nintendo system decades later is really exciting. It's kind of like why I love Sonic, seeing Sonic on, and I know this is not a port question, but you know, in the 90s, Sonic was only ever on Nintendo and only on Sega. And now, you know, obviously Sega's does its own thing and it goes on different systems, and seeing games that were previously unavailable on systems that I have and love is really exciting to me. So yeah, I love seeing things like Tomb Raider and others port across, even whether they're, I don't really mind. I think I prefer Tomb Raider is a good example also for the graphics, because it did do that well in terms of you could play the old school style or switch to the new style. I think that maybe is the sweet spot, because then you're kind of appealing or even appeasing, you know, the fans who are the original players who you're like, don't change this, this is how it should be. But you're also giving players who like things look a bit better than those blocky graphics did a reason to play as well. So I think that maybe is the best of both worlds. I don't know. That's kind of my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with the excitement on that. There are still some other games I played back in the day on my Macintosh where if they were to bring that over to the Switch, I'd be absolutely thrilled about it. In fact, one of them is, Flashback. There was a game I played on the Mac Flashback. Mm-hmm. That's been released a couple different ways, I think, on the Switch, and the controls didn't really work as well. I believe there's a new version coming out where they're like completely redoing it with modern graphics and modern controls in mind. So I'll be curious to see how that comes out too. But yeah, these old games that I used to play and love, it's fun for me too, because I can have my kids play them. Say, see, when I was your age, well, when I was their age, I was playing in television. Although even there, boy, we just did that too, because those games that were coming to the Amico, like Astro Smash on the old Intellivision, have been brought over to the Switch. And those are completely overhauled in a way that I thought was much better than the original. Although my old-timey Intellivision friends would probably disagree with me, but I thought it was great.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. So, I mean, yeah, overall, I think it's definitely a good thing. It brings games to a new audience. It has a chance to improve graphics where it makes sense, like, you know, those bigger games like Xenoblade Chronicles. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. That was a good discussion. Did you have anything else to add before we move on?
No, I don't think so, except bring them on. Think about 10 years from now when we're playing remakes of games that we originally played on the Switch. Well, like, oh man, this is so much. Remember the old Switch version of this, how bad that looked?
Yeah. Oh, that'll be a funny conversation. Yeah. Hard to imagine, isn't it? But like, I mean, I guess it kind of, you know, we don't know what's next. We don't know we kind of know some of the other consoles, how detailed they are in terms of graphics, but there's other technologies we're not, you know, there's 3D and VR and lots of things. What else is there? I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd be happy. I've said this before and I was wrong and I'm going to be wrong now, but I'd be happy if the graphics just stopped at this point. I don't think we need to advance them any further. Let's just find ways to make the games you know, as engaging. We don't need to keep making the visuals different so that at one point it's in 3D and they're walking around my living room or whatever's going to happen there.
That's taking it too far.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's true. Honestly, yeah. And it's a bit jarring when film and games look more realistic than real life does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm just like, it's a bit like how cameras are so good now. Like my current phone, I just got a new phone. The camera is so clear. I take a photo and I can see myself. I can't, you know, in a mirror, I don't look like that. And then in a photo, I do. I'm like, how is it picking up all these little details? I don't know if I really like that. It's a bit too detailed for me. I don't need that much detail.
And that's a good point, too, because the more realistic, like, the games look, the harder it is for me to accept some of the violence that happens in it. Like, when it's happening to, like, an anime-style mm-hmm. character, it doesn't look real enough for me to say, oh, man, that was, eh. Or like, I don't know, should I venture into this? Like, the way some of the characters, especially the women, are dressed, for example. Mm-hmm. If they look real, I'm like, whoa, I can't let my kids in here. But if it's just like an anime character or a cartoon drawing, I'm like, yeah, look, it's just the way it was drawn. That was a really good point. Easier to disconnect. The further it looks from reality, the easier it is to get beyond all that and continue to enjoy the game without taking it too seriously.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And isn't gaming meant to be a bit of an escape from reality anyway? Do we need, like, the world is already big enough and complex enough and, you know, we have our own issues going on. The games are kind of an escape from that. Same with movies. Like, we don't need realism, I don't think.
Yeah, I want them to care more about the design and the overall look. And if that means it has to look a little fake for them to achieve what they want, and I'm going to go back to my all-time favorite movie, of course, Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
The special effects in Flash Gordon at no point really look realistic, but they look so good throughout the whole movie. Yeah. They're just cool looking, the skies and the Art Deco design and the like lava lamp clouds that are kind of floating around. There's always something colorful and wonderful to look at in that movie. Who cares if it doesn't look real? It looks good.
Nice. You know, I'm going to have to watch this. You know, I haven't seen it, right?
We just watched it last week, actually.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to check this out. I did watch Willy Wonka, though. You'll be pleased to hear from the other week. We were talking about yes. I really enjoyed that, so thank you.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah, really, really cool.
And I think I watched the new one, the one with Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, yeah. Did you enjoy?
Not really.
No? Okay. I did.
It was fine. Not my thing.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Well, let's move on then. Yeah, no, that's... That's really good. Listeners, if you have an opinion on remakes or ports or, you know, graphical prowess, let us know. I also just wanted to say thank you to listeners because we've just hit 200 subscribers on YouTube, which seems like a milestone. So thank you to all our listeners and subscribers. And if you are listening and watching on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up, as they like to say. So but let's move on to sales because at this time of year, for some reason, maybe it's Easter, I guess, there seems to be a huge amount of sales. And one of them is called the Partner Spotlight Sale, which has a whole lot of discounts on a whole lot of fairly decent titles, as well as it might just be in Australia that there's some sort of Easter sale. Do you know if in the US it's labeled that way?
I think it's labeled as a spring sale. They tend to avoid the word Easter when they're doing this kind of thing to, you know, not alienate people who don't celebrate.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, it's... We're all renewed. We're excited. It's a good time to get your energy up and sit down and play video games.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. So I can see a couple that you pointed out. Did you want to talk to those?
Yeah. Real quickly. I'll explain why too. These aren't part of the Partner Spotlight Sale. These are separate, but you know, a sale's a sale, right?
Yes.
The first is Sheeran the Wanderer, the Tower of Fortune and the Dice of Fate. I mentioned this one because I just reviewed Sheeran the Wanderer, the Mystery of Serpentcoil Island. That's not the full name, but it's the only part that popped into my mind right now. And I mentioned in the review that was the first Sheeran the Wanderer game that I spent enough time to really get it. And once I got it, I loved it. And now I feel like I want to go back and play the older games. This is an older game. So it's on sale right now at 70% off. That's only, that brings it down to $6, $5.99 through April 9th. So I will be buying this and be able to play some of the older games to see how we got to where we were in the last one I reviewed for the Switch.
Yeah, that's a huge discount too.
Yeah, yeah, very nice. And I've been watching Spike Chunsoft. I'm on their mailing list, of course, and they've just been pumping out a bunch of sales in other areas. Europe, in fact, I think one of them was Australia the last week or two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But nothing in North America. And then just a couple days ago, it finally hit. They have, a lot of Spike Chunsoft games are on sale, like the Danganronpa. Is that how you say that?
I don't know.
Games are up to 60% off. Wow. The Steins Gate games, AI, the Somnium Files, which is another series that I thought about getting into. The first one is 80% off. So if you've had your eye on any Spike Chunsoft games, definitely check them out in the eShop.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a good, and yeah, it's a good time to jump on board with any of those ones. And especially because, yeah, you did enjoy Sheer and the Wanderer, the latest one that you tried. So
yes. A wonderful surprise.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And yeah, $6, geez, it's nothing really for the other one. So is the new one discounted or not currently? Or it might have had a launch discount.
Yeah, while it's not on the list here I have in the press release.
Yeah, that's okay. That's cool. And did you mention these other two?
Why? Yeah, the others are... this one I put in here for preparation, because, I should say too, with all these sales, we've mentioned that we're coming into the twilight time of the Switch when they're going to announce a new system and then we're not going to get any big new games. So that's when you've got to start stocking up now. So you have things to play while you're waiting for the new system to come out. And a great thing to do with that would be, East 8 and East 9 are both 50% off. I believe it's pronounced East, spelled Y-S.
Yeah. I don't know. I said Y's and I was obviously wrong. I don't know if I've ever said this name before, but your version sounds better to me. So.
Okay. I think, yeah, I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah.
but there is a new East game. East 10 is coming out this fall. So at 50% off, you can play through 8 and 9 in preparation to get up to 10 if you've had any chance to do that. They're very fun JRPGs. East 8 I thought was absolutely fantastic. East 9 I liked a little less just because it felt a little too confined. It all took place, it mostly took place inside this like one town. And it had some cool elements, but East 8 was more my style. So good chance to get ahead of the release of the new game if you've been watching for it.
Awesome. Yeah, that's cool. 50% off. Yeah, that's a decent discount. And especially in the lead up to something like East 10 Fall. So that's, you're just in spring now. So that's about 6 months away, I guess.
Yep.
Something like that. Yeah, cool. Thank you. That's awesome. Yeah, and so then, as mentioned, there's a partner spotlight sale. And I just picked out a bunch that I thought were worth mentioning. Especially, I've reviewed a lot of these as well, so I kind of also can recommend them. So I'll just go through my list. This one I haven't reviewed, which is Lego 2K Drive, but I have played the demo and I really enjoyed it. And the reason I mention it, it's not, Lego games are, we've talked about Lego games a lot. They're up and down, they're hit and miss. Mostly they're good though. And this one is really fun. It's quite different. It's all about driving and doing missions in a kind of open world sort of environment, but it's 67% off. So if you were on the fence about it, if you tried the demo, but because it's not a cheap game, Lego games can be expensive, but also they quite often are heavily discounted. So this one is, yeah, like I said, 67% off, which is pretty decent. I think it brings it down to, I want to say like $14. I don't have the, actually I do have the page in front of me. It's 19, sorry, $19.79. So there you go. So that's how
that has a lot of DLC too, right?
It does. Yes, it does. It actually has quite a lot of DLC. So extra missions and modes and stories and things like that, that you can get into, which is good. They're supporting it. Cause I think it's about, is it 1 or 2 years old now? I can't remember when it came out, but it's not super old.
I think it's only about one. Yeah. Somewhere between one and two.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, could do worse than picking that up for $20, I reckon. There's a lot of content there, that's for sure. Disney Dreamlight Valley, which I have to admit, I haven't tried this one, but just heard a lot about it. I think, was it Trev? Someone was talking about it semi-recently. And that's 25% off. I know, I don't know how that works, to be honest, because I thought it was a free-to-play game, but maybe.
Disney will find a way to charge you for even the free things, won't they?
Yes, maybe. Probably. I know there's heaps of DLC for that too. Like, it's, I thought the base game was free and then you paid for the bits you wanted to play, but I could be wrong. It could have been that they launched it free, like the beta test or beta version or whatever it was. Even when Roger was here, he was playing the free version, I believe, 2 years ago. So maybe now it's moved into a different phase. Should have looked into that first, sorry. But yeah, it is 25% off. So if you are thinking about Disney Dreamlight Valley, I know there's a lot of content for this one. I know there's lots of characters. If you're a Disney fan, there's a lot to do. So get into that one. Fae Farm is one that I have played myself. I played it at PAX last year, and then I played the free trial version over a weekend. I think that was late last year. And I enjoyed it so much that I did end up buying it. I think I complained because I was waiting for a sale and I couldn't. I just wanted to play it, so I bought it full price. And then there's been a couple of sales since then. It doesn't go on sale all that often, though. So it's 30% off currently, which is pretty good. And this is a really good combination of, what would you say, Animal Crossing with, like, kind of RPG elements, which I really like because I've mentioned sim games aren't necessarily my style. Yeah, but this kind of does a good job of introducing combat and magic into the world of, like a farming sim. So That's a really fun one. Did you have something to say about that?
I think I was, as you were saying it, I kind of agreed because I know Sophie has mentioned to me that she likes these kind of farming games but prefers them if there's some kind of like combat or dungeon exploration that goes along with it as opposed to just romance. She wants all of it. Farming, romance, and dungeon clearing.
Yeah, this has that. So Sophie may enjoy this one. Yeah. It's, I need to get back into it actually since I bought it and then I played it a bunch. I think I cleared the first, it's not really a dungeon, but it's like a dungeon. And then now I need to just go back and I don't remember what I'm doing. So other things came up and I've been distracted, but it is really fun. You know, you can jump and you have wand and there's sort of not enemies roaming around the open, like the main kind of town, because it's full of, you know, vendors selling things and you can grow crops obviously and do that sort of thing. And the pets are really, I love having pets and they're really nice. But there are sort of missions you have to do where there's some sort of mystery surrounding this island that you have to solve. So it's really cool. Sonic Superstars is another one that's got a huge discount. That's 40% off. And I did mention, you know, I love seeing Sonic on Nintendo devices as a 90s kid. So if you're looking at that one, it's a pretty good discount. Cold to the Lamb is one that comes on sale quite often. And I did review this a couple of years ago when it first came out and really enjoyed it. It's a very different game. And again, this is a bit of a sim merged with, this one's got kind of roguelike battle elements to it. It's a really different game, very, very different and fun. And you know, you have you literally leading a cult of different, very cute animals, very Animal Crossing-esque in that sense. But they do really terrible things, I want to say. There's sacrifices and it's not a kid's game, let's put it that way.
Well, I guess that's part and parcel for cults, right?
Yes. But it is done in a cute way, I suppose. And it is fun. It is really fun. I never thought leading a cult would be so enjoyable. But maybe I won't continue on that train of thought. No, it's a very unique concept and it's quite a fun game. So give that one a go if you haven't already.
Yes. Sounds like this is one of the games where we don't want it to look as realistic as possible while we're playing.
Yes, absolutely not. No. No, definitely not. And this one isn't, it's not realistic. It's, everyone is an animal. You're a lamb. and there's all these different animals who join your cults. They're all super cute. And I think the main entity that you have to defeat is like, another god, like a series of gods kind of thing. I don't think it's based on any real deities. So I don't think there's any kind of conflict of interest there. But it's very well done. The roguelike elements are really good. I am a fan, but I'm not always a fan of the way they're done. But these are the levels aren't too long and they are random, but the pickups are really useful and beneficial. I just like the balance of how this one works. It's done quite well. So yeah, if you were thinking about that one, give it a go. I think there's a demo for that one too, I believe. So definitely worth checking out. Even though it's a couple of years old, it could be one to hold on to while we're in that twilight phase. Super Bomberman R2, which I reviewed last year, is the latest in the Bomberman series, and that's 30% off. So if you're a fan of blowing up friends in a chaotic multiplayer series, that's a good one to jump on board with.
I might get this one too. This is the one that I played at the Konami event in New York.
Yes. And
I didn't review it. You had it. So
I did. Yeah.
I enjoyed it enough during my demo time with the game that I think I would like to have this and play with the family.
It is good. I can
see it leading to a lot of fights though.
Yeah. There are ways you can team up in some of the battles, which may or may not help your situation. I don't know. But yeah, there's different modes, which is really cool. So there's a lot of different ways to play. That makes it quite versatile and fun. I think you can even have up to, I don't know the number now. We only play with four people, but I believe you can do eight or more. I think there's even online you can do up to something ridiculous, like 64. I want to say 64. Don't quote me on that. But I think there's other ways you can play with a lot of people. That's not just you with your sort of three family members or friends around the couch. But that's how we play, and it's really fun. Yeah. EA Sports FC 24, which I reviewed, again, I think late last year, or maybe even earlier this year, but it came out last year, and it's a sports title. Obviously, it's a soccer title, and kind of took me by surprise because it's really fun. It's very detailed in terms of the graphics, very realistic. They've done a really good job for the Switch, I think. But the reason I mention that is because it is 70% off. Like, it's a huge saving. So if you're into soccer, if you're on the fence about playing this one, I think this is the time to get it. And yeah, there's so many options with this one. It's so customizable. It has like every single team in the whole entire world. Like, I don't even know the number. I can't remember, but so many teams. Any team you can think of, I can find my local Brisbane team. It's crazy. So yeah, if you're into that realism, you probably already have it if you are. But if you haven't got it, 70% off. Yeah. So check that one out. The other
That's
one
probably right, 70% off.
Why?
Everyone who's going to get this game gets it right when it comes out.
Yeah,
there's a huge gap in sales until 25 is released. So they're trying to push, you know, some more copies on people who didn't get it on launch week.
Yeah, that's true. And we're probably halfway through the cycle now. I think that it came out in September, which means if 25 came out in September, we've got, you know, kind of 5 to 6 months of this one being the main one. So yeah, I'd say that's probably what they're doing. Yeah, good point. And Red Dead Redemption, which I haven't tried, but I'm curious about, just because this is an example of a game that was on another system and now came to the Switch. And I know it did really well on other systems, and I did play it, or at least watch my friend play it on his Xbox, I think, a couple of years ago. Yeah, it's 30% off. I think is it two games in what, this one? Is it Red Dead Redemption 1 and 2?
I don't think so.
No, it's just the first one? Okay. Yeah. Just the first one. Not a collection. but yeah, I definitely am curious about this one. So it's on sale. If you're also curious like me, you might consider picking it up over this next week. I think most of these are on sale, I think, for the next week or so. I think they end the 9th of April, I believe. 8th of April, I think, something like that. So you've got about a week from when this show airs. These are just my highlights. There's heaps to check out. So if you head on over to nintendo.com, you can also look at those. Also on our website, we do have the link to the sales from our eShop posts. Anything else you wanted to add about sales, Kirk?
I don't think so. You know, we could go over the list and talk about all kinds of games, but
we could.
Yeah, we've done our job, and now we turn it over to our listeners to go find their own gems.
That's it. Exactly. I love that. And yeah, by all means, listen, if you have some gems, point them out to us. Tell us what you're buying, what you're playing. Now, this isn't going to be a weekly thing because it might not work every week, but it did work last week and it's going to work again this week, because this week in Nintendo history, the 3DS launched in both North America and Australia. So this was the 27th of March was the 3DS launching in the US, and the 31st of March it launched in Australia, which is pretty cool. And we mentioned last week, because last week was the anniversary of the Game Boy Advance, and how they release, you know, at different intervals around the world back then. And now you can see in 2011, it's pretty close. Like, they release within days of each other, at least in the US and Australia. So, I mean, last week we were kind of going on about the Game Boy Advance and how we love that system. The 3DS, I would say I loved even more. And I really was into this system for a long time. And the DS as well. But the 3DS, you know, I had it with me at all times. It was in my bag. It was just there. So what are we talking about? 23 years ago now? 13 years ago. 13 years ago, sorry. 13, my mouth is off. 13 years ago.
We're already 10 years into the future. Tell me what games look so much better than they did on the Switch.
Yes, so much better. They're walking around my living room as we speak. So. You had a 3DS, correct?
Yes. In fact, this was the first Nintendo system that I got on the day of launch.
Wow, that's cool.
Coincidentally, I like it when they do this in March because my birthday is today, March 29th.
Happy birthday.
So, yeah, this, thank you. This was a great birthday gift from Nintendo that I got 2 days early, of course, because I'm not going to get this something like this and then sit on it for 2 days and just stare at the box. But yeah, boy, I loved it. The 3D technology was so cool. I can't remember what game I got right away. I usually have a memory of what the first game was I got for each system, but I can't remember with the 3DS.
Me neither, actually. Kid Icarus was a thing, I think, at the time. Kid Icarus Uprising, was that a launch title? I'm trying to think what I played first, actually, on the 3DS. I remember playing it in a kiosk in a shopping center. Again, I seem to have these memories of doing this. I did it for the GameCube as well, and I just mentioned the Nintendo 64 earlier. But yeah, I remember that there was a big kiosk set up where you could go and try the 3DS because I think people were a bit, not concerned, but wary of the 3D technology. And when you see it for the first time, I mean, it was so cool. I loved it. It was so amazing. Yeah, but that's a nice birthday present for you. And to me, actually, you know, mine's only less than a week before yours. So both March babies. So yeah, in a way, it was kind of a late birthday present for me too, actually.
I just pulled up. Let's see if you could remember too. Oh, yes. And I don't think we mentioned last week, but happy birthday to you also.
Oh, thank you.
Wikipedia has a list of all the launch titles. So I've looked at this and now I remember what I got.
Which one was it?
Samurai Warriors Chronicles.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Which you didn't because apparently it wasn't released in Australia.
Yeah.
But yeah, like looking at the launch list, there's not a lot here that I would even play now. That wasn't a good launch list at all for the 3DS.
Not really. It was pretty light on. I think I had Steel Diver, which is a submarine one.
Yep.
I may have even had Street Fighter 4 just because I needed something. I'm not even really a Street Fighter fan or a fighter fan. but I just got it because it looked cool and it was there. I think I had those two and maybe Mario Kart definitely, but that wasn't a launch title, I don't think. Was it?
No, doesn't look like it was. Now, I would have gotten, if my kids had been old enough, I definitely would have gotten Nintendogs plus Cats because Sophie would have been all over that. In fact, she eventually was. But yeah, boy, was there like a demo? I was thinking, I thought there was a Resident Evil game that came out, like Resident Evil Mercenaries, maybe not. Maybe that wasn't a launch title. I just remember playing it at one point.
Yeah, it looked like it was a launch title. They had Pilot Wings, and it looks like it was Professor Layton at some point early on, which I think at that one. But I think that was like at launch. I think it might have been a little launch window thing, maybe. It also depends on the region. Like some games, I'd say Japan would have got a lot more of these than we, and obviously the US got some, like Samurai Warriors Chronicles. Apparently, I didn't even know that existed until today. So. Yeah,
I still have it, actually, of all the 3DS games and systems. Like, I have no idea why, but I never traded in Samurai Warriors Chronicles, so I could play that tonight on my 3DS XL if I choose to do so.
You could do, yes. Will you, maybe, for old time's sake?
No, we'll find out why here in a minute.
Okay, cool. Yes, so yeah, the 3DS, I think it was a big release because the DS was already popular and successful. And then the 3DS took that idea and made it, it just blew everyone's mind, I think, with the 3D capabilities. When did we ever have 3D without 3D glasses? That wasn't even a thing, right? Before. No one had that. I don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You needed those special glasses to see 3D. Yeah.
Yeah. Such a cool technology.
Yeah. I briefly had a 3D TV. It was a Samsung, I think. And it was cool, but you could only watch it with people who had glasses, or to buy glasses for anyone who came over to watch 3D movies. And there weren't a lot of 3D movies. I think there was a really cool, like, kind of a documentary kind of style one with fish in the ocean, stuff like that. Looked pretty awesome. Yeah. But yeah, it was a gimmick. It didn't really, it was like 3D movies. They were at the movies a lot. Everything was in 3D for a while, and then it kind of faded away.
Yeah, those TVs disappeared quickly.
Yeah. But the good thing about the 3DS was you could slide it, couldn't you? Like, it had that slider that was like, you could make it 2D, or you could slide it up all the way to 3D, or you could have somewhere in between. And different games kind of warranted that more or less, you know. And if your eyes got tired or it was just bugging you, you just turn it off. And so, yeah, it was really cool. It was a really good system. Yeah. I love my 3DS. And I think I've told you before, I had my, eventually, not at launch because it wasn't available at launch, but I had my, was it Fire Emblem Fates? Was that the 3DS one? There was a special. And there was a special themed 3DS that I pre-ordered and bought. And that was my favorite. It was like white with these cool little kind of emblems all over them in gold. It was just lovely. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember thinking, I had already, I think by that point, I maybe have already purchased three 3DSs. Because I got the first one, I got the 3DS XL, and then I got the new 3DS XL. I don't know where Fates came in on that, but I just wasn't willing to get a system. Just, you know, I could order a Fire Emblem skin and still be, you know, achieve my Fire Emblem joy that way.
Yes. Excellent. Okay. Well, anything else to say about 3DS? Did you have anything to say about Samurai Warriors?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, I was leaving for the games that we're playing, why I don't have time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. Yeah, well, let's move on to games we're playing because the show is rapidly running past in terms of time.
Wow.
We are talking a lot, which is good.
Yeah, we do that.
We do. We love to talk. So I'll start off with a game that I've been playing called Pepper Grinder, which I think, you know, you would have heard of, and hopefully listeners as well, because it was highlighted in a recent Nintendo Direct, the Indie Showcase. And this is out now. It came out on the 28th of March, so just last week. I'm writing a review for it, so that will be up hopefully around the time that this show launches, if not soon after. And it's a platformer with a difference, because you have the gimmick is that you have a drill and you platform as per normal. You jump and run. Well, you don't really run. You walk and you jump. And you can drill things, though. That's the gimmick. You drill, and there's lots of soft dirt in places that you can easily see, and it's got gems in it, and you drill through these sections. And then there are attachments for your drill you can get. Like, there's a gun style thing where you can shoot bullets at enemies. That was really satisfying, actually. and there's like keys you can pick up, and then you can unlock, you know, locks and move through levels that way. It's a very interesting game, and it's really fun. I love my platformers, as I think we all know by now. So I was very keen to try this one out. There is a demo available as well. So if you wanted to give it a go, you can also download the demo. It's not a huge game. I think there's about four worlds of five or six levels each or something like that. So it's not super long, but it is super fun. And I'll tell you this, it's super hard. It's like really challenging. It's taking me a while to get through simply because it is difficult. Thankfully you have unlimited like lives in terms of if you die in a level, you can restart it, but you do have four kind of hearts, I guess, for want of a better word. They don't look like hearts, but they're like life bars, I guess, or bars of life. So you can take up to four hits. You can also extend that, up to eight hits if you get a special little, I don't even know what it is. Looks like a turnip to me, but something like that, that kind of gives you extra hits during a level. And you need those because I die a lot in these games. There's levels with lava that burn you. The enemies are all really pointy. They have like horns, and they wield these weapons. Like, there's one level, I think it's called the Giant's Kitchen, and you're kind of in a, I guess you're in some sort of oven, and there's enemies with giant chopping knives, and it's pretty difficult. So it's not for the sort of casual platforming enthusiast, I'd say.
It's not for me, in other words.
Prob- Probably not. It veers on frustrating a little bit, but it is super satisfying to get through. And there are checkpoints throughout a level, which does help a lot. So once you get past this little checkpoint, then you don't have to go back to the beginning of the game. You can start from the checkpoint. There are boss fights as well, which are really creative and also very hard. But yeah, essentially it looks lovely. It's a very nice looking game. It's kind of got that a little bit of a muddy retro style to it with the graphics and the pixel art. The music is also a standout. The tunes differ across all the levels and they're really nice. So it's a fun game that I am enjoying. Just a little bit on the trickier side for those who don't want something challenging. If you do want something challenging, by all means check it out because it is really fun. It's very creative. The drill concept is cool. Levels have like each level almost has something different, a different mechanic. Like there's one level where you have these, you know, what do you call it? Something you have to grip onto. Suddenly your drill has a little rope that extends out a bit like, you know, Spider-Man or whatever. You can lasso this bit and swing around and then leap from it. And it's really tricky to master, but opens up a lot of possibilities. I fell a lot, but yeah, it's good. It's good fun. And there's coins to collect. There's gems to collect. There's a shop you can buy things. So there's a lot to do, even though it's a pretty short runtime. But yeah, it's fun. And as I said, I'll write up my review and give my full thoughts pretty soon.
Is it the kind of game where you run through it quickly and then go back and play it again to kind of master the levels and pick up more items?
Yes. Yes. And like, yes, that is definitely one way to do it. I love collecting things. I love getting, so they're sort of pirate coins. There's 5 pirate coins in each level. It's a bit like a Mario game where you have the star coins or whatever. And some of them are visible on the screen. It's just they're hard to get to. So you might have to sacrifice yourself to try to get to it. It might be in a really difficult to reach place. Others are hidden in sort of walls that don't look like you need to dig them, but you have to dig them. Or some might be off screen, like up in the air, and you have to find out a way to get to it, you know, randomly. So there's challenges there. I do look for them when I'm in a safe space and I've got room to explore. But most of the time I'm just trying to get to the next checkpoint because it's just so tricky. I'm not sure yet whether I want to go back and get them just because it is so hard, but that's maybe, yeah, that, I don't know.
If you're that type of player, that option is there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Like I don't like seeing empty spaces. And the more pirate coins you have, the more things you can buy from the shop. So there is an incentive there as well. But yeah, it is tricky. So I think once you get through, if you want to go back and try again, you can. And it's like once you find a pirate coin, if you die and go back to that level, you still have that pirate coin. So if you've found it in a hard to reach place or if you've, you know, dug a tunnel and it's hidden away, you don't have to do that again. So that's good. So once you've got it kind of forever sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which helps. Yeah. And it is like, I love the challenge. I do. I just don't know whether I will necessarily go back. But we'll see. We'll see. It's there, like you said, for players who do want that challenge. So, yeah. But I'm enjoying my time with it. And, yeah, we'll see the final review when I get around to it. I've also been playing a lot of Princess Peach Showtime. I won't spend too much time on this because I did talk about it a lot last week, but I've had a lot more time this week with it. I'm running up my review at the moment. It's almost finished, actually. And I'm really enjoying this game. It's just so creative and fun. There's really nothing bad to say about it, except maybe I want more from it. Like I can now tell you there are 3 levels of each type of Peach. Okay. Yeah. Which is nice. So there are, you know, it's a fair amount, I'd say. And like I said last week, the levels aren't super short. So there's plenty to do and you're looking at, you know, at least 5 to 10 hours worth of gameplay, especially because again, in this one, you can go back and collect these sparkle gems. And they're not as hard to get as the pirate coins in Pepper Grinder. But some of them are hidden very, very well. And sometimes you'll replay a level just to get the sparkle gems. And I'll be like, okay, I've got the first 3. So you're watching for them. You're like, that's the first one. That's the second one. That's the third one. Okay, now should be the 4th one, somewhere around here. And then suddenly you find the 5th one. You're like, wait, where was the 4th one? So, yeah, there are some.
I've had that happen in numerous Mario games, if I,
yes.
If I can recall.
Yes. It's very Mario that way. And some are super easy. Like some you just get for defeating certain enemies. So they're kind of almost a given. But then, yeah, like I said, some are very well hidden, very cleverly hidden, and it's fun to find them all. So, and because it's not as hard a game, it's quite easy to go back and replay them. And I'm much happier replaying these levels than I am Pepper Grinder, for example, just because they're not frustrating. And that sounds negative, but yeah, it's Pepper Grinder. It's really fun and really well made. It's just the difficulty level is on a whole different level to Princess Peach Showtime, which is meant to be fairly simple and straightforward. I will say my kids love this game. We've been playing it together. We've kind of adopted this approach where we have certain transformations each. Like I'm doing the figure skating Peach levels, and you know, one of my sons loves the detective Peach levels. Like that's his style. And then he also does the Patissier ones. So we kind of got our little zones that we are kind of really loving. And this is a good way to play, I think, if you've got family or friends who you want to sit down, you just pass the controller between, like, oh, you want to do the next level. This is a dashing thief level, or this is a ninja level, or this is a sword fighter level. And the variety is just, it's great. There's a lot of variety between the levels. So, as I said, I'm writing my thoughts up at the moment, so I'll get that happening hopefully before this airs, if not very shortly after. So look out for that. But it turned out to be quite a fun game. It's not going to be for everyone simply because it is easier. It's so different, Pepper Grinder to Princess Peach, very different styles. It's accessible though, and my kids aren't little. They're 10 and 13, and they love it. So it's not for 4 or 5 year olds. Like they would probably be able to play some of the levels and enjoy it, but this isn't a game made for like babies. Do you know what I mean? Like it's kind of accessible to everyone. I think if you like Peach and you like Mario generally, you'll enjoy it. But just knowing that it's probably a little bit on the easier side than what we're used to with a Mario title overall.
Okay. I think that's fair.
Yeah. I'll just quickly mention that I've been playing Mario Run just recently, as in yesterday, because there are Peach Showtime missions that have been added. And I haven't played Mario Run in years. So I kind of had to re-download it and update it and all that sort of thing. And I paid for it back in the day. Like it's a free-to-play game, but you only get certain elements for free. And then if you pay, I think it's like $20 in Australia or $15, you get the full game. And I did that back when it first came out. And so I thought, oh, I wonder what these Peach missions are. I was hoping there'd be little costumes you could unlock. They're not. They're statues, which is fine. Because in Mario Run, you have this little kind of area where you design your little world, like you put little toad statues or little mushrooms and pipes and stuff, and they give you coins and things. And it's like your little just home zone area, whatever you want to call it. And from there you play the game. So yeah, you unlock Peach statues, which are with her little costumes, which is cute. And the missions are quite tricky, like collecting 200 coins in level 1-1. And I have done that previously, and you have to use Peach to do these, by the way, which I worked out after doing one of the missions as Mario and not getting credit for it. I'm like, ah, oh, do I have to do it as Peach? Okay. So I did it again. Anyway, it's a fun little thing to do on the side. So we'll see if I continue with that. But with the time, maybe we'll go to you for your next one. Would you like to talk about Unicorn Overlord?
Yeah, mainly because, well, that's another one that I have my review ready to go.
I'll read that after this if you like.
Oh, well, thank you. So we'll get some edits on that and get it up. I haven't fully completed the game, but have certainly played enough to know that, people can read the review, but it is, at this point, I really don't see how anything else I see on the horizon is going to be better than this. Absolutely love this game. Definitely at this point, my 2024 game of the year. And I think it would be great if another game completely surprises me and beats it. So let's hope that happens, because that means I got another absolutely fantastic game this year. Yeah. But again, pushing through towards the very end of Unicorn Overlord. And I mention it here because in other reviews, a lot of people were saying that this gameplay reminded them of Tactics Ogre Reborn, which was the re-released version of Ogre Battle. I don't know what systems that originally came out on, but it was always something that was on my mind because being a Queen fan, I understood the reference to the song Ogre Battle off of Queen 2, one of my favorite songs by Queen, by the way.
Oh, okay.
But when it came out, I didn't make a move on it. But as I mentioned, today's my birthday, and I know for a fact that I will be opening that game later tonight. Cool. So nice. That's the game that I'll be playing tonight, and therefore will not be able to fire up Samurai Warriors Chronicles on my 3DS.
Right, okay.
But also, having finally gotten towards the end of Unicorn Overlord and wrapped up two other reviews this week, I'm going to go into our review pool and grab a couple new ones and get started on those. So next week I'll have some fun lesser-known titles or recently released titles to cover instead of these ones that have been out for a month or so.
Yeah, right. Cool. That sounds really awesome. Unicorn Overlord in general. Just the love for that you have, which is obvious. And it's just such. I like I've said, I've played the demo. It's really cool. It is a great game. Tactics Ogre. There was a version on Game Boy Advance by the looks of it. I don't know if that's the one you're talking about, but there was one on there.
Maybe.
But it looks like it was
called Tactics Ogre there too? Because. I'm not sure what the disconnect was. There was Ogre Battle, and then there was Ogre Battle 2, March of the Black Queen. March of the Black Queen also being a very good song off of Queen 2, by the way.
Right.
But then I think they kind of redid it and switched the title to Tactics Ogre for one reason or another. This remake is a remake of that version of it. So I'm not, like I said, I don't... Square Enix and their titles kind of scare me a little bit because I always feel like I'm not invested enough in them to really be able to talk about them. Like I can't discuss Final Fantasy with anybody because I know that I'm just going to get torn apart because of my lack of knowledge of certain things. But this isn't Final Fantasy. So yeah, well, I'll go ahead and get started. Or is it? Maybe it's like some offshoot of a Final Fantasy game I don't even know about.
I don't know. I don't think so. But yeah, who knows? And I feel the same way with Final Fantasy. I have played some of them. Not all of them by any means. And, definitely would get lost in a full-on conversation. Looks like the original, or the March of the Black Queen one at least, from 1993 was on the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
So that's cool. Yeah. I mean, it looks very Square Enix from the 90s, to be honest. Yeah, which is a good look. I like that kind of style. I love the top-down. I love the classic top-down RPGs. That's my jam. So that might be fun. I don't know how I'd ever play that, though, unless it's on some virtual console somewhere. But yeah, cool.
Looking forward to finally trying it. Hopefully it's as good as everyone says it is. But yeah, like I said, people made a lot of connections between that and Unicorn Overlord. I think to the point... where I don't know if it was somebody on the dev team for Unicorn Overlord just came on and said, quit comparing these games to old games. Just enjoy them for what they are. And so because I read that, I purposely did not bring up a single other game in my review of Unicorn Overlord.
Yes.
Even though there were a lot of little elements that I could see, like, this is kind of like Fire Emblem, and this is kind of like a Bravely Default came into my mind a couple times, but not in a way where I felt like it was lifting or... Mm. Some kind of odd derivation of that game. It's like, this is just a element that happens in games, and you do see a lot of these repeated, and these are great games that are coming into my mind as I'm playing it, so there's no reason for me to get upset about it.
Yeah, it's like an homage kind of thing, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, we all get inspiration from all sorts of places, and I think a lot of developers would have grown up, today's developers grew up playing games that we would have played as youths, and of course that inspires them. So
how they use those pieces, parts, and put them together in different ways, it could completely change the overall effect. So it's not like a ripoff or anything. It's we like the way this works, but how cool would it be if, and then add something else to it, and then you completely change the general flow of it.
Yeah, exactly. That's awesome. And the only other thing I really tried this week was because we were talking about Game Boy Advance last week, and I saw that there was a new Game Boy Advance title available on the Switch Online, I thought, well, I should just duck in and try F-Zero Maximum Velocity. So I did try it. It is what it is. It's F-Zero. You race, you crash, and you win or lose. And I kind of won and lost, I guess. I'm not super good at racing games, just like I'm not super good at fighting games. Stick to my platformers, maybe. but it's fun. I don't know. It looks, I think what I, and it, you know what it did remind me of? Because we talked about the Game Boy Advance last week, because it did celebrate its anniversary. The thing I I guess that I wanted to say was that to me it seemed like it's a handheld version of the Super Nintendo. It was in terms of graphics, right? And F-Zero Maximum Velocity looks a lot like the original F-Zero on the Super Nintendo to me. I wouldn't be able to tell the difference, maybe, because I'm not a huge F-Zero fan, but they look very, very similar. And I remember playing the likes of, you know, Super Mario Brothers on the Game Boy Advance, and it was very much in line with the graphics on the Super Nintendo. And then earlier tonight, we were just talking about Mario 64 right at the beginning of the show. I think the DS was kind of trying to emulate the Nintendo 64 in terms of it was bringing Nintendo 64 powered, like that kind of level of power into a handheld device. So that was my kind of, I don't know, it's not an analogy, the groupings, or the Super Nintendo was able to morph into something smaller and more compact in the Game Boy Advance, and the Nintendo 64 the same with the DS. I think in that's my mind how they kind of almost evolved, really. But yeah, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think with the Switch, they finally got to the point where they could have both of them, like, yes, at the same spot. And mm-hmm. So that's how we got what we got.
Exactly. Yes. Perfect. Thank you. You completed my thoughts, Kirk.
I'm sorry.
No, in a good way. I didn't even know.
You complete them yourself. I don't mean to.
But I didn't know I had that thought. Okay. You just kind of rounded it out nicely. And that sort of rounds out the whole show, nicely, because we started with the DS and Mario 64, and then we kind of ended with it. So
a perfect circle. That's a
perfect circle. Exactly. So yes, thank you everyone for listening to the show. I hope you enjoyed it. Let us know your thoughts. Thank you so much, Kirk, for joining me, and happy birthday again. I can't believe you would spend your birthday talking to me about Nintendo stuff, but I really appreciate it.
Well, you got a lot of time in the day. I can get things done.
True. If you would like to follow us, we're on Twitter and Blue Sky and Mastodon. And if you'd like to support us, you can head on over to patreon.com/purenintendo. We put out a regular magazine. We're going to start putting together the next issue soon, so stay tuned for that. And until next week, thank you, and game on, everybody. Bye.